13, Luke 15, 13, then John 17. Amen. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance. That's where we get the word prodigal, from that word wasted. Prodigal means wasted. Amen. There wasted his substance. It means the wasting son. The son who's wasting. That's where we get the word prodigal. Amen. Wasted his substance in riotous living. Claude Ely one time read it, rottenous living. Amen. He was right. His paraphrasal was all right. Amen. For country folks, anyhow, even though there may not be a word. Well, there is a word like that, but using it that way maybe it wouldn't be maybe in place, but he was okay for country folks. Amen. John 17 and 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Amen. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. This is my title tonight, Prodigal or Perdition. Amen. Prodigal or Perdition. You get that in there? Prodigal or Perdition. Amen. Why did they go away? Why did they leave? Or maybe you'd like to ask them more personally, why did you go away? That's what I'd like to ask the whole bunch. Young people that once shouted the victory. They're way out in the world. I'm not talking about those that wound up in another church somewhere. I'm talking about those that backslid so far from God that they're out on the town, out in the world, deep in dark sin, deep, dark rebellion against God. Amen. Oh, it's bad enough to be in bad shape right in church, but it's sure bad out there. Amen. You might hear the gospel in church. I won't think you can anyway. Prodigal or perdition. Amen. Why did they leave the church? Are they prodigal? Are they wasting? Wasted? Well, they will be wasted. Time, precious time is being wasted. Oh, somebody said if you would love life, love time. Because that's what time is made out of, or life is made out of. That's the stuff that life is made out of. Amen. Are they prodigal? Are wasted? Are they perdition? Bound to perdition. Perdition means doom. Perdition spells total loss. That's heartbreaking. Prodigality is heartbreaking enough. But doom is heartbreaking. And I fear for those, many of those that have left, that once knew God right here underneath us and shouted a victory and knew the blessing of God. I fear for those bitter old folks and those backslidden young folks. I fear for those bitter preachers that have one time preached the gospel. I asked a friend a while back about his father-in-law, how he was doing. He said, not too good. And he said, if he died today, he'd be lost. I'm talking about an old-time wholeness preacher that, amen, I gave him a watch once, and he never wore it on his arm. He took the band off of it and put it in his pocket. Amen, that's how strict he was. He believed and trusted in God for healing. Amen. And now today, a bitter old man. And if he dies, his preacher, boy, son-in-law at least, amen, and he's got preacher boys too, don't know whether he's right with God or not. Bitterness has taken its toll in his old age. Instead of growing sweeter, my God, he's grown bitter and left God. Is it prodigal or is it perdition? Well, there are many things, unless you were God, you'd never know this side of eternity. Because it's too complex. There's some that we will know before they die whether they made it or not, whether they got back to God or not, whether they, like a prodigal son, came back to the Lord or not. Amen. We'll know before they die. Amen. But there are many Bible examples of boys in the same family. One was prodigal and one was bound to perdition. Amen. Jacob and Esau. Jacob was prodigal much of his younger days, running from God. His very name was Jacob, supplanter. That means you're just a little bit crooked. And I tell you what, there ain't nothing today more crooked than a backslidden Jew. Amen. About as crooked as you can get. Amen. And I mean, what are they? They're just following in the footsteps of their father Jacob. Amen. And the Jews, short for Judah, and they're following in the footsteps of their father Judah. Amen. And he helped sell Joseph into Egyptian bondage. Amen. Well, Jacob was prodigal much of his life, but Jacob had a tender spot in his heart for God and a reverence for the things of God all the way through. The girls he married wasn't all that heavenly minded. When he finally left Laban, his most loved one, Rachel, stole Laban's gods and took them with her. What in the world did she want with those idols? Amen. You can tell that they weren't all that much eat up with spirituality, Jacob nor his wives. Praise God. And so Jacob and his whole family was prodigal a whole lot of the time. But the difference in a prodigal and one that is a son of perdition is that the prodigal has a tender spot for God. And some of these days he's going to get his craw full of running from God and running from reality. And he's going to pray through and shell down the corn and get back to God. Amen. Praise God. But that we may never know. Esau, he had a crying spell when he didn't get his birthright. Amen. Didn't get the inheritance that Isaac was going to give him. Bible said he sought repentance bitterly with tears. Amen. Looked like he was tender, but he wasn't really tender. He was just weeping over his loss. Amen. He would have got 3/4 of Isaac's wealth and the priesthood of the family. But that God saw to it from the beginning that Jacob would get that. Praise God. Esau lost that. Esau went right back to his rat killing. He went right back to his heathen wives. He went right back to his heathen ways. And the Bible don't have much good to say in either testament about Esau. Because most of Esau are sons of perdition. Amen. I'd rather be like Jacob, amen, than Esau. I'd rather be like Joseph than Jacob, but if I was going to be like Jacob or Esau, I'd rather be like Jacob. Amen. And then there's Saul and there's David, the first two kings of Israel. Amen. Saul had the anointing of God upon his life. Saul was God's choice for Israel's first king. He was the best that God could come up with for a king. Amen. And God had Samuel pour the anointing oil upon Saul. Saul was valiant, mighty in battle. Praise God, and did great things. Amen. Until he overstepped his bounds. Intruded into the priesthood. He wouldn't wait on God. Amen. In a voluntary worship, he offered sacrifice to save the morale of his soldiers instead of waiting for Samuel, who was the priest prophet, to praise God, that God had ordained. Amen. He wouldn't kill all the cattle and all the people of the Amalekites. And he brought Agag back as a proud trophy of war and had the grace to say, the bald-facedness to say, I have fully obeyed the Lord. Lied to God, lied to Samuel. Amen. And then when he couldn't get a hold of God, instead of repenting and changing his ways, amen, and trying to do better and getting down on his face before God, and God has had a habit of hearing folks that had mean business with God, no matter how bad a shape they was in. Amen. But Saul went to a witch instead. Amen. He began to trust in the fortune teller instead. Amen. All the witches were supposed to be killed in Israel. There wasn't supposed to be no witches. Someone said that history says that this witch of Endor was Abner's mother. I don't know. Amen. But that, they say, was the reason that she escaped the purge and all the witches were not killed. But Saul, when he couldn't hear from God, he stooped to a witch instead. He went to the false instead of the true. Amen. And something happened in that dark seance. Amen. It caused cold chills to go up and down my back. Amen. He wanted to talk to Samuel, and boy, he got to. The witch screamed. J. Vern McGee says it wasn't really Samuel. Amen. Other commentaries say it wasn't really Samuel. I personally believe that God overruled and sent Samuel. I think he did. It's wide open for discussion. Praise God. But the witch screamed when she saw him. Amen. What did he look like? And she told him, said, that's him. I need to talk to him. And boy, did he get another message. It wasn't good. When that dark seance was played out, Saul staggered out into a darker Palestinian sky. It was his last night alive. His last day on earth had already begun. Amen. There's nothing good said about the destiny of Saul. No, no, no. Possessed of a devil, driven by demons, Saul finds himself, amen, committing suicide on the battlefield instead of fighting valiantly to the last ditch. He had lost faith. He had lost his trust in God. Amen. Oh, yes. But then there's David. David, amen, got to where he wouldn't go out to fight. He stayed home. When it come time for the kings to go out to battle, he stayed home. When it come time for kings to go to camp meeting, he stayed home. When it come times for kings, that's what they did. They went out and camped, and God gave them great victory. Praise God. When it come time for kings, praise God, to go out and have revival, he stayed home. Amen. I'll tell you, you don't get too old to be faithful. Amen. You don't get too old to backslide either. Amen. You may not be as strong as you once was, but you can be faithful. Amen. David stayed home. All the men were out, and Bathsheba figured that about all the men's gone to battle, and so she took maybe a little extra liberty in bathing on the roof, and David was looking over the ramparts of his own roof. He called for Bathsheba. Oh, the prodigality of David. What he wasted. He wasted his reputation. He wasted his anointing. He wasted his family. The Bible said the sword will not depart from your house. He wasted his son. My God, he wasted his sons and his daughters. Great God, he wasted his kingdom for a little while. Oh, the things we lose when we take a trip the wrong way. I want to tell you, you may backslide and get back. But you ain't going to like what you see of your past when you come back. You're going to regret the last day you live the things you wasted. All the people I know of that got back said I was a fool. All the people I know of that came back said there's nothing out there for a child that's once known God. Praise God. Amen. Saul and David. And then there is riding Jesus' own inner circle, praise God, among others, Peter and Judas. Amen. Peter went to sleep instead of praying. And when temptation came, he didn't have the strength to endure. He couldn't even keep his own promise. Beware of anybody that says, I promise honestly, honest to God, I promise I'll never do. Well, beware of folks like that. They're all mouth. Amen. Action speaks louder than words. In fact, our action speaks so loud, most everybody can't hear a thing we're saying. Amen. Praise God. Oh, yes, we need to put our feet to walk in it. Glory to God, and we need to put our mouth to talking. We need to talk right and walk the walk and talk the talk all the way back to God. Praise God. Peter denied him and Judas betrayed him. One was prodigal. The other was a son of perdition. A son of doom. A son of hell. That's what Judas was. A son of perdition. Oh, it won't be me. I'll not do that. Amen. How do you know? If you're not repenting, if you're not sorry. Praise God. Peter denied him, and Judas betrayed him. Huh? Praise God. How do you betray the Lord? By gossiping. One way you betray. You betray the Lord by gossiping about things in the church. And I had a friend of mine that talked about church troubles right in front of sinners all the time at his business down there in Missouri. Amen. Just run off at the mouth all the time sinners stand around listening to him. Hey, my mom taught me better than that. I mean, good common sense tell you better than that. Praise God. You don't talk about church troubles and about the hypocrites in the church. And he'd call their names right in front of sinners. Amen. You don't do that. When you do that, you betray the Lord. In fact, gossip is one of the best ways we betray the Lord. Gossip is one of the best ways we deny him. Amen. It's amazing how quiet some people are in church. Can't hardly get a peep out of them. But boy, they can run their mouth half a day at a time on the telephone. And man, they know so much that's going on in the churches, it's a sight what they know. Amen. If I want to know what's going on in churches, I can call one or two women here in the church and find out real quick. They know everything that's going on. Amen. You know why? They traded to get it. They traded a little gossip to get what they got. Amen. And so they're denying the Lord. and betraying the Lord by their tongue, by their gossip. Amen. And say, I don't know him, or I don't like the way he's doing, or I don't like what they're doing down there. I don't like this. I don't like that. Amen. I mean, they're no respected person. They not only talk about the backslidden in heart and the worldly church, they talk about holiness churches too. Amen. They're no respected persons when they gossip. Amen. Oh, yes. And so we fail to realize, and we talk about church, we're talking about ourselves. Huh? We talk about church, we're talking about, if we're in the church, we're saved. We're talking about ourselves. We're talking about the body of Christ. Praise God. Members in particular. Hallelujah. You know, amen, Jacob had a lot of enemies down through life, even while he's in a backslidden condition. And any talk that he got, he probably deserved it, but God always took his side. Amen. David had a lot of trouble, and any talk he got, he probably deserved it. Amen. Especially in that same crowd that's always yapping anyhow. Amen. And that's why he didn't curse Shimei when he came out and throwed rocks at him and cursed him. He said, let him alone. Amen. But you know what? In time to come, God took David's side. Amen. God took up for David. Better be careful what you say. Amen. About cursing somebody and calling a bad name just cause a backslid. Amen. And may, amen. God may take up for them. Amen. He takes up for them. He may take up for them against you. Amen. And my goodness. Amen. Judas and Peter. Peter denied him and Judas betrayed him. Amen. The difference, Judas took the money back and threw it down at the priest's feet and went and hung himself. And Peter went out and wept bitterly, praise God, and repented. Hallelujah. The Lord heard his prayer. Hallelujah. Jesus took his part. Where there's life, there's hope, folks. I believe as long as you're living, breathing God's air and walking around, you got a chance. Come on. Amen. Praise God. How do we know which is which? How do we know which is prodigal? And how do we know which is son of perdition? Well, we know by their action. Ultimately and finally. Huh? Praise God. We know not only about their actions, we know about their reactions. Praise God. They know the way, and if it comes right down to it, they'll take up for it. Jack Cole told about he had preached to the boys when he was in the army in the barracks at night, and so they'd throw him out, amen, without his clothes on and leave him outside in the cold until somebody came in to let him in the door. And every night they'd throw him out when he started preaching. But one night there's a big old boy inducted into the services from Arkansas. He hadn't been doing any preaching, but when Jack Coe got up and started preaching to the boys and they started to throw him out, that big old guy, praise God, stood up and took his part. He said, let him alone, fellas. He's got what my mother got. Praise God. And he was counting on mother's prayers. Hey, he might have been backslid himself. He might not have been saved himself. But he was taken up for the right. I know some backsliders today that they'll still take up for preachers that live right. I know some backsliders today that'll still talk well about people that'll live right. I know some bitter old souls that can't find any good in anybody, and they're in bad shape. And so your action and reaction is both, amen, very important. Amen. How do we know whether a person is a prodigal or a son of perdition? By their attitude toward right and wrong. Amen. You can ask them and they'll tell you right and wrong. They'll tell you that right's right and wrong's wrong. But a prodigal Pentecostal who has changed in this day and hour will tell you that wrong is no longer wrong. And the people that's right are a bunch of fanatics. And they're still going to church and going through the motions and shout and carrying on. Amen. Hey, your attitude is very important. Amen. If you're a backslider tonight, your attitude towards your past is important. Praise God. I found that my uncle in Kansas City, I was talking with him. This is 25 years ago, and I was talking to him about the Lord sitting in his house, and I talked about how he once knew the Lord. I was right there when he got saved. I was right by his side. I was right by his side when he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking another tongue. And I reminded him of that in his backslidden condition. He said, "Well, I thought I did." That's dangerous, folks. That's a dangerous state to be in. You're awful close to perdition when you no longer respect the sweet Holy Spirit that one time filled your life. And you don't know whether you got an experience with God or not. Hey, if you got a Peter attitude or a Judas attitude, it'll show up right there. If you got a Jacob attitude or an Esau attitude, it'll show up right there. Even if you're a backslider. Amen. And so attitudes towards your past. Attitude toward the brethren. Praise God. Ah, yes, a man who is a prodigal, he may realize that father was right and that mother was right and that brother was right, but I'm going to have me some fun. But he'll always take up for them when the chips are down. Amen. He'll never deny that old-time religion. For the most part, he knows way down deep inside, Grandma's God was right. Amen. Mama's God was right. Praise God. Your attitude towards your past. Your attitude toward the brethren. What was Esau's attitude toward his brother? Wanted to kill him. Amen. What was Jacob's attitude toward his brother? Praise God. He prayed through, sent him a gift, wanted to make peace. Jacob's spirit wants to make peace. Esau's spirit, if you're not careful, wants a battle to go on. Amen. Beware of, leaving church in the wrong spirit, because you'll have a whole lot of followers that'll follow you in the wrong spirit. Huh? They'll be your children. And it's a bad foundation to build on when you build on the wrong spirit. Amen. Fellow left my church in Middletown, started another church. I knew there was a bad spirit there, bad attitude there, but I wanted to help appease it as much as possible. And I went up and helped them dedicate their church and just looked at it as an extension of the full gospel tabernacle. Amen. But folks, the reason that church is folded up and been folded up for years and never could get started back up again, the reason that ministry is folded up and never can get started back up again, is a wrong spirit. You can't build anything lasting on a wrong spirit. Amen. You got to stay in the good grace of the brethren. You can't hate brethren. They may not agree with you, but you still can't hate them. Amen. You got to love the brethren. Appreciate them for the good they'll do. Amen. Your attitude toward God will depend. I mean to tell you folks, there are people that are bitter right here in town preaching the gospel. And when it's all nailed down, amen, they're preaching because they can't do anything else. It's their meal ticket. Amen. But they're bitter against their former fellowship with the people of God. And what that boils down to is they're really bitter against God. You see, promotion don't come from people, it comes from God. If God's got a hand on you, there ain't enough devils in hell to keep you from going forward, to stop you. If God's got his hand on you, the anointing destroys the yoke. It may take David 7 years in Horeb reigning, amen, over what he can before he gets to be king of all Israel, but he'll come out on top. Amen. It may take Joseph 20 years, bless God, in Egypt to come out on top, but old Joseph will come out with a key to every corn crib in Egypt. And he got the right spirit toward his brothers. Can't keep from crying when I read about Joseph. Praise God. You'll have the right spirit, right attitude toward the church. I mean, if you can't have a right attitude toward the people that nurtured you in God and brought you up in God, and if you talk, amen, and you're snobbish about the people, they're old fogey, old-timey that prayed you into the kingdom of God, and there are preachers right here in town like that right now. You know their names. Prominent, but they can't speak well of where they came from. They can't speak well of their roots. They can't speak well of old time holiness no more. They hate it with a passion. Amen. And it was their father and their mother, spiritual father and mother. Amen. I tell you what, it's terrible to be a prodigal, but I'd rather be a prodigal than a son of perdition. A bitter soul that's once known God, that dies with a root of bitterness bigger than they are in their breast, praise God. Is there a way out, if any? Yes, there is. Praise God. It's just this simple. Praise God. The prodigal is going this way. Amen. And the son of perdition is going this way too. Whichever one turns around and goes the opposite direction is the one that's going to be saved. Do you know what repentance means? It means a face about. It means to turn around 180 degrees, praise God, and start the opposite direction. The prodigal said, I'm going to the hog pen. But when he got to the hog pen and fain had filled his belly with the husk the swine did eat, he turned around and he said, I'm going back if I'm just a servant. The servants are better off in my father's house. He turned around and went back. The son of perdition stumbles on like Saul, like Esau, with a whole nation following after him. Amen. Until finally at last, they go crashing through the shut walls of hell, the screams of the dying, and are doomed. Because they won't turn around. Young person, if you backslide and go out of here, having heard what you heard and know what you know, you'll not be the first one. The downward road is crowded with unbelieving souls. But you're going to have to be a man. You're going to have to grow yourself a backbone. You're going to have to, praise God, grow you a brain instead of a pea up there in that shell. Glory to God. Amen. And say, I have got sense enough to turn around and live for God. The way out is repentance and return to God. I wasted all the time I'm going to waste. I wasted all my substance I'm going to waste. I wasted all my life I'm going to waste. I'm going back all the way to Father's house. Amen. Stand with me tonight and let's pray. Why did you go away? Oh, let my voice ring out yonder to precious, beautiful youth. Brought up at our feet, educated in Christian schools. Why did you go away? And tell me tonight, in the darkness of your long journey, tell me out yonder, I'm asking you, are you prodigal? Or are you a son and a daughter of perdition? I won't tell you, when a prodigal comes back, he'll pay the price and make everything right. He won't hedge and excuse himself. He'll shell down corn, make things right. When a prodigal comes back, he'll make things with his right with his wife, right with his husband, right with his kid, right with his church, right with his preacher. Prodigals will do that. But sons of perdition find an excuse not to. Father, reach down, Lord God, I pray, and help us, Lord, to live for God. Help us not to get so far away from God that we can't get back. Help my friends that hear this tape, Lord, my God, that they'll come back all the way, that there won't be too many bridges or rivers to cross, that there won't be too much price to pay and too many fields with fences to climb. Oh God, that it won't be too far and snaky in their mind to pay the price and come back to God all the way. I pray, Lord, for every prodigal that hears this message out wherever it goes. If it goes beyond these four walls out in the cassette ministry, I pray, God, that you hasten it to the hearts of those that hear it. If they just hear a few words, help them out of severe and sincere examination of their attitudes and emotions, that they'll pay the price. And Lord, better still, that they'll take the ounce of prevention instead of that pounds and pounds and pounds of cure. I pray in Jesus' name. For my friends, amen. Yes, I call them my friends. When Judas kissed Jesus, he said, "Friend, wherefore camest thou?" Yes, he called him friend right to the end. I think he hoped he'd come back. Amen, I do. I hope they all come back. I look for them and long for them. Let's come around the altar and pray for them and for ourselves. Amen. God will bring them back. Praise God.